Hi, this is Variety Shonavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. I was asked the question about the industry of being in the record label industry. And the film industry. Well, breaking it into that industry, you know, in some cases, it is on who you know. In other cases, I would say the best way to learn, school. Take classes. That's what I did. School, internships, learning from the entry level of an intern, or back in the day when I started out, they had public access channel stations where you can go in and create shows of your own. Learn to use the cameras, the audio, sit in different positions in producing, directing your own shows and formats. You build your own crew up with people working with you. You start networking with people, people that you know that come onto your show, and you do interviews with them. You know, that was a great way in, really, to get the experience. Is through public access stations, and that was through the cable companies, like Bard and Cable. When I was in Detroit, Michigan, I went through Bard and Cable. That's where I started. And then when I went to Grand Rapids, Michigan, I started at Grand Rapids Television, and I became an anchor there. A television anchor there, and then I became a local reporter. And then, again, with college, I did radio. I worked at the radio station. I got a lifetime radio license that never expires at that time, and they no longer give out those licenses anymore. But at that time, when I was in college, I got blessed to get a lifetime license that never expires through the FCC. I was able to create a playlist, interview artists, receive packaging from artists, labels, or their management to play their music on the radio. I was able to be a DJ at the radio station. You know, I also became a member of a broadcasting company, you know, where they had sales classes or meetings or more job leads to get your foot in the door. I attended UCLA. Also, with UCLA, you can have an alumni. I joined the alumni, so I'm an alumni of the entertainment industry. I chose a college that is always on the up. And UCLA was a college that was always on the up and still is. When I say that, I mean they're a college that always knows what's new. They know new production companies, new technology. They always hire the best, you know, to do this. So, you know, there are a lot of avenues that you can go. You can go from being a student to an instructor. I did that. I used to teach at Santa Monica College in Santa Monica, California. I was an assistant professor in broadcasting and radio and television. So there are a lot of different avenues that you can go with being in this industry. Record labels, I had the opportunity to work at Sony Music and MJJ Productions. And at that time, I worked in publicity and licensing. And that was a great experience because that experience actually, I already knew how to form articles and create articles and publicity on, and to form and structure them on, and layouts at that time. Because in Detroit, Michigan, as you know, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. So I'm originally from Motown. And so I was, had an opportunity where I was a writer at a newspaper for entertainment, a contribution writer at an entertainment newspaper. So during that time, I learned how to do layouts for newspapers. So when I began working at Sony in the publicity department, I knew how to do layouts. So when when the executive secretary was showing me how they do it, it was basically the same thing. You know, I'm typing up everything and putting it together, putting, you know, measuring everything in the space that it was going to go in. And that was it. But what I learned about that position was something different than it was me actually working at an entertainment newspaper. And what was different about that position was I learned that the record label did the publicity. They were the ones who wrote up the publicity on the artists. That's what I learned, which was shocking to me, you know. So, you know, I got a chance to also with that position to I packaged CDs and all the artists' works. I listened to the new demos that they had, and I was able to green light who went to radio nationally. And then when I decided who was going to go to radio nationally, then I packaged them and sent them out to all the major radio stations and contacted all of the general managers of the radio stations. And of course, with my mother being Florence Ballard and growing up around other Motown artists that I was around, and some were not Motown artists, you know, I wanted to sing, of course. I wanted to sing, you know. But once I got to that level of Sony and working at a label, I got a chance to see how a label works behind the scenes. And that changed my interest immediately. Because I like the business side of it, of the business. I end up liking the business side of it. And I got a chance to really learn that you're only as good as your last hit. You know, you can sell 50 million copies the last album, but when the marketing and the promotions and everything is going out, and if it's not generating income, they could shelve you or release you from the label if there's no profit coming in. Because they look at it as, we're marketing this artist, we're pushing this artist, and we're not recouping anything back. So that can be bad, you know. NSYNC was a group that I pushed out there behind the scenes, NSYNC with Justin Timberlake. And I knew that they were going to be big when I listened to their music, but I also knew that Justin was going to go further. I knew that. And I didn't care what they looked like, because whenever I put my headphones on, all I cared about was the sound that came out through the headphones. And I know for a fact, if it had me moving and grooving, it's going to be big. And so with that alone, of having that feeling, the vice president, or whomever was involved, will come downstairs eventually, like, you make any decisions, you know? You ain't pick anybody yet? Yep, I sure did, you know? And so when I made a decision, NSYNC is it, he said, all right, package them. I said, let's go. And we did that. So I packaged them and sent them to all the major labels. I never got a chance to really meet the guys in NSYNC. But yeah, I guess you can kind of say I'm behind them. Discovered them in my own way, you know, of pushing them out there and letting them just get that green light to go. And they did, and everything happened the way that I knew it would happen. And today they have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So I'm proud of that judgment, because I knew that it would go that far. You know, and I knew that if the group broke up, I knew Justin was going to go solo because of his sound alone, and that he could stand alone. And I saw that group not really as a group that would really break up, but I saw them as a group that could get back together off and on, but not really have a bad beef with each other. Like, they just totally just break up and they just split up and we're just not going to talk to each other anymore. I really saw them as a group that would come and go at their own time, and then they'll get back together and do something, and then they go back doing what they want to do, you know. And then Justin would just go solo and do his thing, and then he did that, and everything happened the way that I thought it would, you know. And I explained all of that, even to the vice president, but it wasn't going to be a bad thing, you know. So there were other artists that I pushed out there and everything, but you just, sometimes you just have a feeling, a good feeling on things, and it would happen. And that's basically how it went through, you know. So it's entertainment. To me, it's like the sky is the limit kind of industry. It's an industry where you can really get your feet wet and learn different functions and different positions until you really find yourself in a place where you're really satisfied with what you want to do. You know, some artists start their own label, you know, but how long does that last? Running a label takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of responsibility. To me, I think it takes a lot of money in its own way. If you're going to have different artists all the time, and you have to promote them, market them, clothe them, you know, do different things for them, it could really take some money, you know. And but it's an industry where it really takes time to really learn. And I think if you really want to learn the industry of the recording industry or film or television, best way to get in, get a job. You know, search LinkedIn. LinkedIn is really big right now on hiring people for industry work. You know, get in there, learn, make connections. Look at Sean Combs. Look at Diddy. He started off as an intern for Uptown Records. And now he's like the biggest paid entertainer there is. You know, and he started off at that level. He made Jodeci huge. You know, so he was very successful at that level as an intern. But he learned what he needed to learn to start a label. And that's the way to go. So, in my opinion, take some classes. Take some classes, be an intern, get a job, get a couple jobs, you know, work a couple years and find out what you really like. You might like publicity better. You might like engineering better. You might like producing better. You might like writing better. You might like editing better. You know, you can do different roles in the industry, you know, all the time. I enjoy editing. When I started out editing was on splicing tape. I had to splice tape back then. It was a very, it's kind of intricate in its own way, you know, but I had to really, it was a way of just listening for what you wanted. And I had to really listen. Like, this podcast is unedited. You all will find that out real quick, I know. Because sometimes I go back over my podcast and I'll be like, oh my God, it's too much space in there. I didn't edit anything. You know, it's just real raw. It's live, you know. And I haven't edited any of my podcasts. But I know how to edit. You know, and so editing is different now because now you have digital editing, where before I had mono editing and I did it with splicing the tape. So back then with splicing the tape, I had to really listen really good in my headphones and get to the part that I wanted and stop it real quick. Stop, click, pause, hold it right there and do my splicing, put it together, you know, and then, you know, rewind it up and then play it back and see if I get it to that line that I'm looking for. And if you're really going to go into editing, most professors these days will still, no matter if you're doing filmmaking, whether you're doing filmmaking or music, most professors, it doesn't matter if you're at a community college, it doesn't matter if you're at a university, most instructors or professors will take you back to the splicing mode days. They're going to take you back to the vintage days. They're going to take you back to the black and white days of doing black and white film. They're going to take you back to to movies where they had no sound. Silent films. So you can see that. So you can see how the splicing was done or the editing was done or how editing was done back in the day. How you'll see a little small dot in the corner. And you'll be like, oop, that's it. That's the editing right there. That's that mark. Boom. You see it. You know. So, most instructors would take you to a vintage time. Most instructors, even if it's filmmaking, you're going to learn all the way back to 8mm film. They're going to give you a little bit of something of this, something of that, you know, all the way up to the new timeline of what's going on today. Most instructors would do that because history, that's what it is. That's what filmmaking is, because you have to learn those different formats because you might get a script with that format. So you might get a script that may need black and white film. So you need to learn black and white film. You might have a format where they want it to look Vogue style, black and white, but it's not too sharp black and white. I need a little bit of that vintage color, red, brown, kind of little bit black and white up in there, you know? So you'll know what to use to get that type of effect. And it also has to do with lighting. And also, I would say that if you want to be a filmmaker and you want to get into doing movies, take photography classes. I think I didn't take photography classes, but I learned a little bit about photography because I had different cameras that I bought. I always bought different kind of cameras. I bought Polaroid camera, Instacamera. I had cameras that were disposable cameras, where they had the old school disposable cameras. I had all kind of different cameras that I used to always purchase all the time. And they all gave a different feel of film, you know. And these are not professional cameras, not Polaroid. Polaroid or disposable camera was used for more like still photography, just to take a quick picture of someone in their wardrobe or something like that. That's basically what they used it for back in the day. And Polaroid cameras are still around. You can buy them on Amazon, you know, usually, or some of the camera stores, professional filmmaking camera stores may carry them, you know. But I would say photography is a great way to start too for filmmaking, because you learn a whole lot of different styles. And then when you get into cinematography, it's like, it's the sister and brother of each other. Photography and cinematography is sister and brother right there. So everything that you adapt to with photography, you definitely can transfer it over to cinematography, without a doubt. You know, I'm a visionary. So for me, I'm a writer. So I'm a writer and I'm a visionary, you know. I'm a person, I'm creative. I've always been a creative writer. My gift for creating writing was discovered in the third grade with my third grade teacher. Two of my third grade teachers, I would say. My third grade teacher and my sixth grade teacher. My third grade teacher was the one who really discovered and helped me decide what direction I wanted to go with a career in third grade. And that was Miss Gardner. I was her favorite. And I used to make her laugh all the time. She always laughed at me. And then my sixth grade teacher, Miss Snap, discovered about my writing the same way. And they both love my writing. They said, "Girl, ooh, you got an imagination here." And I did have a great imagination. And I still do, you know. And I write from experience. I write from dreams. I write more from dreams now than anything. When I have a dream about something, that's what I write about. I write from experience, dreams, visualizing something. Sometimes I'm a people watcher, so I might just watch cars go up and down the street, think about cars going up and down the street, the way they're going up and down the street, the colors, the style, people. Sometimes I'll just watch how people react to things. I've been at homeless shelters before to look at how people are adapting to homelessness. I look at the staff, how they act to people in homelessness. I look at how they are. I look at and evaluate who they consider to be mentally ill and who I think is mentally ill, I can gravitate from that. I pay more attention now to men who are in drag and men who actually go get breast implants, and they consider that to be a sex change operation. I observe that. I observe, adults that do it, and I observe the younger generation that's in that mindset. And then I have the opportunity to observe the churches, because I feel that the churches are affiliated to what's going on today with homosexuality. I think they play a big part in it, I just take my time to see things evolve. I like to see things evolve. I like to see how a child was seen as though they were normal, innocent child. Now they've gone to this institution, schools or environments, been around certain people, and now this child's behavior is changing from something that they were not before within a period of time. The way they talk, the way they walk, the way they dress, and I look at all that, I listen to things, I listen to conversations, I listen to all the different types of what different sexualities are supposed to be. I have to look up some of the stuff on the internet to even know what are they talking about. I've heard of some sexualities out there that people become other people in their thoughts, So it's like, wow, that's deep, So, as a writer, I get a chance to really look at all of that. And then I'll go back and think about my childhood on and see if I can picture or remember if this was something that I came about as a child, I pay attention to things that celebrities are doing as well, what they're into as far as what they're advocating, what they're supporting, and stuff like that. I talked about on my past podcast about mental illness. A lot of people are really advocating mental illness, and then other people jump on the bandwagon. I had a cousin whose daughter is now an advocate to mental illness, which she would be okay for her to do because there is mental illness on that side of the family with a grandmother who had it. She had schizophrenic. But I really believe in mental healthiness, mental healthy, words like, a good head on your shoulders, and keeping your mind right, because when you focus on mental illness, from what I've been able to see in California, I don't really see a lot of people getting the help that they really could in curing them in that predicament and in the environments that they come upon, because a lot of people are giving medication. And I've seen people who were normal, to my opinion, 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, that were normal, and now they're mentally ill because they went into certain programs with housing that's supposed to help people that were in an environment of homelessness, and then they had them go into a mental person, and then they start taking medication or they start telling them, hey, you can get Social Security for $900 a month. If you take this pill or whatever, they'll give you your Social Security and they'll give you the money. And now these people are messed up. And there are people that I saw that I knew that were really astute way back in the day. And they are not the same like they were, because they got into that mental illness and then people got sucked in because of money. I know people who have went and done lab experiments and got paid lab experiments, you know, and so they're not what they were. They became dependent on something, you know, so I wouldn't say go that direction, you know, because in business, in the law of business, it's illegal for a person to do business or be under any kind of contract if they're not mentally capable of understanding their contract. They have to be competent. They're supposed to be competent. But there are some people who take advantage of that, and that's their game, you know. So that's not something that I trust, you know. I know that people have their issues and they have their problems, and some people have their issues and problems before they even get into the industry, you know. But people attack those things. People attack people's weakness. And in this industry, in any kind of industry, some people or any kind of relationship, sometimes people can just look for that, you know. So, you know, and that's it, you know. People started trying to ask a lot of different questions. You have this, you ever did that, and then, and woo woo, you know. So, you know, like I've said before in my past podcasts, we're human beings, you know, and there's nothing wrong with you getting mad. There's nothing wrong with you being assertive and being able to identify when someone is doing something, and you can say, hey, I see this is not going in the direction I think it should go. And this is what I think it is. It doesn't mean you're crazy. But people want to label that and say that, you know. But, you know, you just, you know, have to take your time. But anyway, but I feel that that this industry in its own way is an ageless industry. It's ageless in its own way, where you can still be in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s and be a news anchor, a news reporter, something like that, you know, a commentator, a radio person, you know. You can still start over, you know, you can just gravitate into different areas, you know. There's a lot to learn, monetizing. You know, to make money on social media and so on and so forth. You know, development of apps. You know, you can become an engineer and develop apps and so on and so forth. So, you can change your career in entertainment and say, hey, I found another way of doing things that I like and I feel more comfortable at. You know, and it's okay. You know? It's just good to just have a great team, though, at anything that you do. Sometimes you fly solo, sometimes you have a team. You know, some people have a support system of parents, sometimes they don't. You know, it's a yin and yang in anything that we do, you know. So I would just say that I would never rule out education. I would never rule out the knowledge of it. And I will always just say, hey, take some classes. Network, meet new friends, meet new connections. You know, get a part of an alumni or something, you know. Join some groups like Meetup. You know, Meetup got groups for people who's in filmmaking, television, radio, podcasting. And they have parties and meet up at bars or mixers or whatever it may be. And that's a great way to meet people, get to know people, exchange numbers, get business cards, you know. Go to film premieres of other people, be open and available to work on other people's productions, you know, so on and so forth, you know. There's a lot of things to do. You're going to have people that you severe ties with. You're going to have people that may stick with you, may not. Some people will move out of town. Some people will give up. A lot of things go on. But if it's what you want, just keep doing it. You'll find your way. Eventually. You know. It's a lot to learn. But you definitely have to make sure that you have all your documents in place too. You know. And everything. So, and that's basically, you know, the way to go, I would say, when someone asks us what to do in that area. And I would say, you know, that's basically the way to go. You can also start out as a background actor. Some actors have been background actors. Do voiceovers. You know, have your videos done. You know, make some videos. A lot of people have done all kind of things with the social media on Instagram. You can see a lot of people talent that way, or Facebook. Some people depend on followers, some don't. Some people have big listenership, some don't have followers, and some people have a big listenership. There are just different parts of the industry where it matters and where it doesn't matter, you know. So there are just a lot of different things, you know. It's important to people in which circle they stay with, to some people who they're invited by and invited by certain people's parties and, you know, their cliques and their in crowd and things like that, you know. I've never really been an in crowd clicky type of person, you know. I used to be with Floyd a lot. When we first came out to Floyd Mayweather, the boxer, Junior, we knew each other when we were kids, you know, so I've been knowing him since I was four, he was four, you know. I'm a few years older than he is, not that much older than he is, but just a few years older than him, and his parents and my parents were good friends, so I used to come out and visit him all the time, and I used to stay with him quite a bit, and everything, and then, me being in California, I got busy doing, you know, my own focus with things. So, you know, and then after a while, you know, we just lost kind of like touch after a while, after the years or whatever, you know. But I was always invited to like come to the barbecues and stuff like that and stuff like that. So, it was cool, you know. I mean, I'm not with him now, like he's like really huge now. And now I'm not there, you know. And I just talked to someone and say, you know, Floyd, all them years, you should be with Floyd. You know, you should be calling him. You know, he got money and this and that. And you should be trying to holler at him, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And I'm like, no, no, I shouldn't, you know. Because I touched base with him a few times, and then when we ran into each other when I was in Las Vegas and I was living there, he was jogging around my home and we ran into each other, and then we exchanged numbers then and kept in touch there in a couple years and everything, and we've always been one-on-one. Now he has like assistants and things like that and bodyguards, and I've never had to deal with a third party with dealing with him. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to reach out to him. I just feel like, just like you reached out to me and tried to contact me, you Google me and you found me. So I feel like if he wants to Google me and find me, he will. You know, it's not hard to find, you know. So I'm accessible to him reaching out to me if he wants to do that, you know. And I think he'll do that at his own time or whatever. But no, I wouldn't, you know, I would never contact him just on that basis just because he's Floyd and he has money and all that. I've known Floyd when he didn't have money. And I wasn't his friend for money. I was his friend because we were friends, you know. So I don't see him like that. I'm not in a need to be his friend because he has money. He's just Floyd to me. I don't look at him like that. I see him as my friend from Detroit. I grew up with the little Afro kid and the little cute, you know, kid. That face used to shine like money anyway. Both of our skin used to shine like money with that Vaseline anyway, you know. We both had that copper skin complexion, you know. And, you know, we used to be at each other's parties or, you know, home or whatever. Come visit each other's home and stuff when we were kids and stuff, you know. And, you know, and our parents were tight at one time, you know. But my parents died, you know. He still have his. But I wouldn't, even when I was coming out, he invited me because I was his friend. He had known me since we were kids. So it wasn't nothing about me being in a clique with him. He was just Floyd, you know, and he's still like that to me. I don't even see him. When I look at him today and I see him on the internet and stuff that he's saying and things that's going on, to me, it's funny. I just laugh at it. I just be like, oh, he's so funny. He's so silly. You know, like, you know, that's just how I see him. His personality, he's something else, you know, and that's it. Other than that, I would never reach out to him and be like, oh, let me call Floyd. You know, we have money and, you know, we had pictures together. I don't know. I think his girlfriend got rid of our pictures that we took together because we had some photographs together and stuff. And he had my cell phone at one time that I left at his house. And his girlfriend, I guess, got a hold of it, or he gave it to her or something. And then our pictures got deleted. And he told me, you know, our pictures got deleted that we took, you know. So that's why we don't have pictures today, you know, with each other and everything. But other than that, he's just, you know, he's just Floyd. He's normal to me. You know, anything that he does is just, to me, him still being himself. I don't see him as a person that really has changed at all. Not really. He's basically, to me, he's still the same person that he was. He just has money. You know, he just have the capability to do whatever he wants to do now. And he did what he wanted to do, and that was to become a boxer and to be able to take care of his family. And he made that happen. And he had always had a father that was always in his corner from the beginning, from day one. And I respect him for that. You know, both of them for that. You know, because there are so many black kids that grew up without their fathers in their life. Didn't know who they were, where they were, or even their mother. You know, but, you know, he's talked about some things with his mom, whatever, but there were some kids that still didn't even have it that good because his parents were still in his life and around him. Anyway, they were still parenting him where other kids probably didn't have that at all. They didn't even have the whereabouts, you know, or knowledge of anything. So he still had it good, regardless of what has been said, you know. And because I didn't even have that type of bond and strength and someone really being there for me the way that I needed and that support system that I needed, you know. So I really feel that it's good for a person to have a good support system, even if it's just one person in your life that supports you It's good to have a great support system consistently. Not like, oh, you don't do what I want to do anymore, so okay, I wash my hands to you. Oh, I don't deal with you no more, this and that. And then everyone, you know, find everyone to start hating on you and stuff like that. And, you know, saying stuff about you or whatever. So, you know, here today, gone tomorrow type of relationship, you know. So, or have people who want to never visit you or see about you and stuff like that. So when you have people that really care to know what's going on in your life, they'll be there. You know, you don't have to ask them for anything. They'll be there if they feel that you're someone that they feel that they can be, you know, strong with what they're trying to do. They'll be there. They'll come to you. You know, and sometimes you just have to let people go and let them grow and let them do their thing, you know. I've always been a person that I could see situations with a relationship. Sometimes I might say something and sometimes I may not, because I don't want to say, you know, oh, I think this person is going to be like this and then it's going to end up like that, because sometimes people will say, oh, they're just jealous, you know. So sometimes you say, all right, you know, you got to let them go through that. Hate to see them go through it, but you know, it is what it is. Then it'll be, I told you so, you know. But at the same time, you gotta step back, let people do what they want to do, you know. And but anyway, this can happen in any relationship, professional relationships or whatever. You just have to have a good network. You still have to believe in yourself, or so to anything. Even if you get dropped from a label, you know, you still have to believe in yourself. It's still kind of like a job, you know? So, you just have to make the best of it. That's all that I can really say. And just try to learn as much as you can. Keep buying books. Go to Amazon, keep buying books. Get the topic you want, keep buying books, and learn from there. Some people are self-taught, you know, and get your equipment, go to school. Some people get student loans, you know, and Pell Grants and stuff, and get the equipment and things you need that way, you know, to get the equipment and things that you need. Some people get scholarships. Some people have people that can pay for it to give them that. Some people work a job and, you know, pay for school that way, you know. So there are different avenues to do things, you know, or you just have to have a program where you borrow the equipment, you know. There's a lot of ways of doing things, you know, but use it all. It all can be an inspiration to you in some form of way. You know, I used to dance in music videos. But that was fun. I love being on the music video sets. It was awesome to me. You know, see my friends and stuff. Like, hey, girl, what's up? What's up? You know? So, it's all good, you know? The industry is... it's built on people appearance, of course, you know, the way that they look, keep themselves together. It's for all shapes, sizes, and ethnicities, you know. But now it's really open, you know. African Americans are now getting awards and things like that. But now, you know, you guys can go overseas and do a lot of things now, you know. You can African films or whatever it may be, you know. There's a lot to do. Money is different, but it's on you on deciding on what you want your contract, you know, to be or whatever. You work that out and negotiate, you know. But it's fun, you know. It has been fun for me in a lot of ways, you know. I've had a lot of great times in this industry and meeting people and everything. So it's nice to be a part of a group of people that want what you want, the same thing. And you know, you're not really their competitor, but you could be a group and making something happen. You know, when you make a film happen or you make a video happen, you know, and then you see the results is on television or whatever. It's like, I was there, you know, and so it's cool, you know, it's really cool, you know. So that's it. You know, just stay focused on what you want to do, and I can say is just keep learning and keep taking classes and improving all the time. And you know, watch different characters, watch different movies and things like that. You know, I love Halle Berry when she acts in films, and she's doing films that's really psychotic. I really admire her acting skills. She is one person who I really admire in acting skills. And Diana Ross when she did Billie Holiday, like that. But you know, but Halle Berry is someone that I really admire in the way that she acts, with some real psychotic acting characters with the mental illness. She's really, really good. She did very well in Frankie and Alice. That was like one of my favorite movies with her. And Gothica. She really can just turn it inside out a lot, you know. And she, to me, her facial expressions, and she's so beautiful, you know, but her facial expressions can change so much to stillness. In her facial expression, she fucking scares you. She'll look at you like she's gonna fucking cut you up, you know, and it's amazing, you know. She's a great actress to me. She really is. I mean, I love to watch her movies when she's in a real psychotic type of acting debut. I just love when Halle Berry does that, because I just sit there and I have to watch her movies over and over and over again. I'll watch Halle Berry movies over and over and over again when she's really in a real deep type of film like that, because I like to see her techniques, and I know she really works on it because she's someone who really studies her acting skills and her abilities. She'll learn, or maybe from different people or something, but she's really, really good. I like the way she just turns it inside and out. Really. I mean, because it gets me every time. It gets me every time, because I've seen her a few times in California, you know, different places and stuff. And I'll look at her like, I wonder if she gonna be like she was in that movie, you know? But she doesn't. I saw her one time, though. She doesn't like the paparazzi. I saw her expression go from one expression to another with dealing with them paparazzis. She get a real mean ass look on her face when she dealing with them paparazzis. She do not like them, you know. And it's like, ooh, she got that look when she's in the movies, you know. That's the only time I see her act like that, is when the paparazzi was like taking her pictures coming out of a store or something, you know. And she had her daughter with her too, and it's like, wow, look how her face changed so quick like that. It's like, damn, it's like she about to eat them up. You know. But yeah, I really like her as an actress. I really dig Halle Berry as an actress, because she is like, she's really into it. I mean, when I see, I mean, my friend Darren can tell you, we'll watch a Halle Berry movie over and over again. Because I'm like, Darren, watch. Look at her face expression. And then he'll get into it like, yeah, man, she do. And she look like she just like, man, you know, she's about to do this guy in or something, you know. it's amazing. And she got these eyes, and her eyes just they really focus on her eyes when she's acting and stuff. It's amazing. She's a great actress, you know, because they don't have no makeup on her. Did she have those scenes where she's not wearing makeup? I mean, she is wearing makeup, but when they give her that look, when she just, like, real natural makeup, oh, man, she, you know, it really changes. I like her acting because I like to pay attention to the mentalness of her, you know, and the character, you know, because I be trying to figure out what type of psychology is this that she's into, because there's so many different forms of psychology that she really gets into a dark place of psychology when she acts. So that's really what's really amazing to me with Halle Berry. I love to see her get into a dark place in acting. Because I'll just sit there and be like, man, I gotta play this movie over again. Or I have to rewind this part again. And I'll rewind it and look at it. And I'll stare at it, you know, because I know Frankie and Alice was about my mother, Florence. No one knows that Frankie and Alice was about Flo Ballard, but it was. And I admired her for that film because it wasn't anything that was familiar to me, but I knew it was about her. And I also know there was a family member who also was like that character as well. So, but the characters that she played, it wasn't really familiar to me because I didn't see that at home. Except I knew about the dancing. That I knew. And I knew about the scene of falling down in the middle of the street. I knew about that too. I knew about that. So, you know, but as far as how she acted and everything, that part I just never saw. But I know people who was like that, you know. But yeah, Halle Berry just really, she really gets into a real dark place. You know, and I like actors. They can really get into a dark place. You know, I have a lot of favorite actors though. You know, but she's just like one that really just stand out to me. You know, because I have a lot of great actors that I like. I like a lot of people. You know, but it's a gift. She's just gifted in that way. You know, and everything. So Viola, she's really good too. She get to crying and stuff. I'm like, man, I've taken acting classes myself. So it does. It takes some things and experience to really get into characters. So when you're a writer and you're writing a character, you can get into that character yourself in a way mentally as a writer. You know, so, you know, yeah. With Halle Berry being one of my favorite actresses, will I have a role for her? I think I did it one time. She could play my mama in her own way. If she doesn't play my mother, she could definitely play some other people that I know. Personally, that I could write about. For sure. You know, either way. But she did a great job already at Frankie and Alice. So that was about her anyway. But nobody knew that. But I wouldn't have to do a Florence Ballard movie with Halle Berry because she's done that already with Frankie and Alice. You know, that's just how I look at things. Why do anything and it's been done? There's nothing to fix. You know, it had to be something different. You know, all together, it wouldn't be like the same character, because that's done. She can that already. That's then, you know. She did a great job. But anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, you all that's out there that want to do film videos. Just buy the equipment that you need. Practice at home on your equipment. Get the apps. When you're a student, you can get the whole Adobe editions and download them when you're a student and sign up with the memberships. You can get all the editing equipment on Adobe as a student, a college student. And you can just download, maybe high school too, I'm sure, and just download it all. You know, they have 30 different types of softwares. You're going to need a computer with a lot of space though. And just download all the Adobe softwares that you're going to use and need. And just practice. Go on websites, on job websites also. And look up the job subscriptions. And descriptions. And find out what type of software that job wants you to know. Find out the type of equipment that they're working with. And then write it down and then search it and find out who's selling it and see if you can lease it yourself or if you can purchase it yourself and learn how to practice on it. And then that would be your own equipment that you would have available as a freelancer or independent contractor. Or someone who can work from home, because there are a lot of people who do work from home. And then you can just have that equipment for yourself. And then go from there. And just keep practicing that way and just master it. That's what a lot of people do. And then you put your portfolio together. You know, take classes on putting portfolios together and everything. And then submit it, you know, and go from there, you know, and take care of your documentation with it too, you know, and go that route. So that's the best way to really break in into the entertainment industry. And again, in some ways, it's on who you know. In some ways, you know, sometimes you don't have to know anyone, you know. Sometimes everyone want to get to know you instead, you know, but do what you do. Do your best at what you do, you know, because usually people, when they sell themselves in this industry, they just say, hey, I work with this. I work with that. I have this. I have that. I have my own drums. I have my own editing bay. I have this and that. They take pictures of their studio. It could be a home studio. You know, this is how I work. You know, some people can do live demonstrations now. You know, there's a lot of things you can do now to break into this industry. It's not hard like it used to be. You know, and go from there, you know. So I hope I've been helpful to the question of how to break into the entertainment industry or dealing with record labels and things like that. I hope I was able to be helpful to you. And that's the end of this segment of breaking into the entertainment industry. This is Variety Shauna Vera for Akashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Thank you. Till next time.
Nice. No heat in the house, gotta hold tight. Candle was lit, we had no light. lights. Yeah. Adam checks coming in on time. Yeah. Blue check, give me another few weeks. Told you I was on, but you already knew that. I've been there. Old checks, I blew it. Yeah. Already asking me for favors, I ain't blue yet. But I don't give handouts. No. Where was you when I had my hand out? Yeah. These bitches will use you for more clout. But who getting booked for these shows now? Nah. Mama, I made it. You always said I was the greatest. You gon' be so fucking famous. Eating the food that you plated.
Love you, mama.
And you gon' get everything I promised. Or do you like my daddy, mom, honest? Cause he left us with no commas. Ain't even come and check before his daughter. Damn, lost up in this world without a father.
Baby, I believe in you. Told you these niggas ain't believing you.
Told you long time that I believe in you. They ain't really see what I see in you.
Baby, I believe in you. Told you these niggas ain't believing you.
Told you long time that I believe in you. They ain't really see what I see in you.
Just pray for me. You ain't gotta hate on me. If you knew my story, you would pray for me. I'd give it all up if it ain't made for me. Some people don't change, stay away from me. If it ain't about a check, it ain't pertaining to me.
Say we never go Ghana. Say na him sing with the bangers. Say na him get the banku. With the make all the girls to the ginger. For many years with the dancers on too. Back then that shit was the cocoa. Why you call the form of the mode? Cry man, just live like same, same. Because if you do anyhow.
Mercy, I'm feeling your bruise. Got me in the mood. I'm loving the things you do. Give me that boost. Mercy, I'm feeling your bruise. Got me in the mood. I'm loving the way you move.
Yes, in the club when we show other girls bent over. When a man pull up, the gas get over.
See, I see the road now.
Gas get over.
You know that.
Check out the team, man, bad when you can't touch that. Rough.
Me, I finna become top chat.
What you say, man? You can't touch that.
Never shut up.
Shut it.
One more. Cause if you do anyhow, if you do anyhow, you can see anyhow. You see, I said if you do anyhow.
Paying the money, badness number 9 with the ball. Enemies with the taco, taco. Oganla, see my shako, shako. Living on the lao, lao. Baby, wala combo. I want to see you go low. No time for me, ni money more. Cause anywhere you go, I follow. Alanga lingi langa long. I love the way you dance the song. I make you want to sing along. Superstar, you can call me champion.
Cause if you do anyhow, you can see anyhow. I say if you do anyhow,
if you do anyhow,
you can see anyhow, you can see. Monica, if you do anyhow,
if you do anyhow,
you can see anyhow,
you can see.
I say if you do anyhow,
if you do anyhow,
you can see anyhow,
you can see anyhow.
go.
Trick or treat，
能想象，绝不想下，能做到，就想个办法。为什么 squad， 场上称霸，就是叫你怕，怕我狂轰滥炸。能想象，绝不想下，能做到，就想个办法。为什么 squad， 场上称霸，就是叫你怕，怕我狂轰滥炸。从没有馅饼从天上掉下，到处都是陷阱，别让自己掉价。不走 Plan B， 只用实力做点成绩。但我沉迷于使用各种金币， You know 我本来就是一无所有，就算失败再重来也花不了我多久。我超六，我超有 feel， 超球，我超优秀，时间在我这里 ，It feels too real。Every day 都做同样的事，夜以继日我筹划着更大的事。OK OK， 又有一个机会，又做一个精髓，又让对手心碎。做了你想都不敢想的事，就算你恨我也会记住我的名字。适者生存，重要的不是在名次，后发制人可能被写进历史。能想象绝不想下，能做到就想个办法。为什么 squad 场上称霸，就是叫你怕，怕我狂轰滥炸。能想象绝不想下，能做到就想个办法。为什么 squad 场上称霸，就是叫你怕，怕我狂轰滥炸。有人觉得我欠他，想看我被击打，都想要来份这块六十六寸的披萨。Nobody made me， 换我来说你 baby， 我全靠我自己，管你什么样的来历。我就像紫牡丹，没人像我这样大面积的掀起波浪，为家人做到最好，你只会临阵脱逃。快看我的能力，这不过九牛一毛，冰山一角，赚的都是红票，更专注于事业，没空和你计较。收集钻石项链，还在不断向前，我要最大最闪的星星镶在胸。现在我只在乎我自己，搬出旧的街道，你对我望尘莫及。 No one doing like I do， 我值得你学习。 Don't need a fake friend， 说什么是奇迹。
能想上绝不想下，能做大就想个办法。为什么 squad 场上称霸，就是叫你怕，怕我狂轰滥炸。能想上绝不想下，能做大就想个办法。为什么 squad 场上称霸，就是叫你怕，怕我狂轰滥炸。想个办法，为什么 squad
12 in the morning, pop shells for a living in. Baby gon' smell blood trail every minute. Rogue wave on you niggas, no fair. When I hit him, every time I see it big, I don't hesitate to kill him. Ain't nobody give a fuck about a rule. Either get the plumbers of a tool, I'm a cool with my youngest, no boo. When I spraying this K, and you fuckers, fuck a gang affiliated with nothing but my name. Man, I don't give a fuck about a motherfucking pole. I'ma pull up with that stick and hit your motherfucking dough. Man, I don't give a fuck about a motherfucking pole. I'ma pull up with that stick and hit your motherfucking dough. Yeah, people be starving and people be killing for food with that crack and that spoon. But they wish motherfuckers they stay eating good, dropping waste, living good. Hold it stick locks, but you been a bitch, suck a thick cock, fuck a grip, walk, hit a strip like in Bangkok. Never ever see me ever trip, by the live rot. See me on the TV screaming, bitch, you a damn fraud. And you don't wanna fuck with a chicken like me. When I pull up in that Maserati, better duck for your brain spider on the concrete. I'ma hit you with that 4-5 bullet, hit your neck, run a bow tie. Looking like a thriller feeling, bitch. I'ma go right back with the clip, and I know you be shaking. Don't test me or I'ma just click at your noggin. Man, I don't give a fuck about a motherfucking pole. I'ma pull up with that stick and hit your motherfucking dough. Man, I don't give a fuck about a motherfucking pole. I'ma pull up with that stick and hit your motherfucking dough. Yeah.
Charlie boy day, me Charlie boy day. Me na thank God I godly. Say God no ungodly. Oluwa na in comforting me. When these people they come body me. Me na thank God I godly. Say God no ungodly. Oluwa na in comforting me. When these people they come body me. It's why I die sometimes. The little Henny and Ice.
Thank you. Hi, this is Variety Shunavir for Kashi Media Podcast Live, giving you an update on our listenership. Joining us is number 59 and number 60, Ukwai and Ukraine. Thank you so much for joining Kashi Media Podcast Live. And also, I want to say thank you to Costa Rica. Thank you for joining Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Gabon, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Dominican Republic, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Puerto Rico, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you to Mozambique for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Romania, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Czech Republic, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Argentina, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Belgium, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Russia, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Kenya, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Portugal, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Algeria, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Peru, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Slovakia, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Canada, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, France, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Ireland, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Taiwan, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Brazil, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. In Brazil, you made us number 7 on the charts of podcasts. Thank you so much, Brazil. Thank you, Italy, for making us a listenership over there in Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Mexico, for listening to us in Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Singapore, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Russia, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Iran, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Malaysia, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Uganda, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Japan, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Germany, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Dominican Republic, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Ivory Coast, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Gabon, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Netherlands, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Sweden, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Benin, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Guatemala, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Morocco, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Syria, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Lebanon, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Ghana, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Nigeria, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Panama, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, France, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Philippines, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, China, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Spain, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Italy, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Canada, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, India, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Egypt, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. And America, thank you for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, Algeria, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you, United Kingdom, for listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. And I just want to make sure that all of you know that I am so glad that you are listening to Kashi Media Podcast Live. I try to give as much positive segments that I possibly can on my podcast, and I'm going to try to improve it every time that we have a podcast. And I truly, truly, truly appreciate you for listening to us, downloading us, and streaming us, and letting me into your ears for listenership. Again, this is Variety Shanavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. Thank you.